Thousands of buildings across Australia are covered in the same highly flammable cladding that turned London's Grenfell Tower into a deadly inferno. But Australia is locked into a blame game on who should bear the cost of repairs. In addition to this, there are other serious issues that have emerged in the building industry. Over the last 7 months, cracks have forced the evacuation of residents from two relatively new Sydney apartment buildings. Leaks and water damage forced the evacuation of a third. It's exposed a poorly regulated construction sector, and tomorrow, state and territory ministers will meet Federal Minister Karen Andrews to begin to tackle a growing crisis in Australia's building and construction industry. Ken Morrison is the Chief Executive of the Property Council of Australia, and he joins us tonight. Ken, welcome.
Thanks, Patricia. Thanks for having me on.
Some experts believe the problems we're seeing now could be just the tip of the iceberg, especially in Sydney, where regulation has been the lightest. How worried should anyone who's just bought a new apartment be right now?
Well, I think if you've just bought a new apartment, then you're much more likely to be in a more secure situation. I mean, I guess to try to unpack what some of the issues are, and there's a degree of complexity here, there's a set of issues around combustible cladding and many products which are flammable and have been installed mostly under full planning approval and building approval in the past. And then there's a set of issues which are largely resulting from the system's ability to enforce compliance of its existing building regulations. So the import of this is that we've got a situation, particularly in relation to cladding, that because of the unsystematic approach of governments to these issues and the fact that states have been going it alone and the fact that there's not enough clarity and uniformity about what's been occurring, is that insurance is starting to be withdrawn from the markets. This is what sort of brings it to a head and makes it a looming crisis, particularly for the building industry, but also beyond that for buildings. If you have professional indemnity insurance being withdrawn from the market as it is now, then that means that for those certifiers who play a really critical role in approving key parts of the construction process, if they can't do that job, then construction projects start to stop.
Okay. But one of the flaws in the certification system is that builders have ultimately been allowed to certify their own work. What does it say about the industry that this system has been so heavily abused?
Well, that's not exactly correct. So there is an independent certification, a third-party certification process, which people are allowed to use, or they can continue to use the local government certification process. But those certifiers are independent certifiers. They have to be accredited and they have a role to play. So it's not the case that a builder or a developer just certifies their own work and off they go. They do have to get that checked by a third party. Building ministers some 18 months ago were handed a report which they commissioned, authored by Bronwyn Weir, who's a respected construction industry lawyer, and Peter Shergold, the former head of the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. And the Shergold-Weir report said that, look, when you look at the issues that exist within the sector, they're not about the level of regulation. In fact, the quality of the National Construction Code is really very good and world's best practice in many cases. And they're also not caused by private certification per se. But they said that the issues are really about enforcement and compliance, and there hadn't been enough focus on those things around those state regimes, and that's where that focus need to be. And there, you know, concurrent with that, we've had the emergence of this flammable cladding issue and a hodgepodge of responses to that from state governments. So it's a confluence of things which has helped create an insurance crisis, which means that building ministers tomorrow can't kick this further down the road.
Linda Kypriadakis, the director of the Australian Building Management Accreditation, spoke to my colleague Fran Kelly on RM Breakfast this morning. Here's what she says needs to change.
I would like to see a change to the Building Act in each state, mandating that with the occupancy permit issued at practical completion of construction, there is a compliance schedule attached to that permit, which is a guideline to the building owner on how to maintain their building beyond practical completion. The second thing that I'd love to see is the regulator of the fire legislation in each state undertaking a inspection at practical completion to ensure that the passive fire systems are compliant.
Yep.
So I would like to see the private certifier conducting hold point inspections when waterproof membranes have been laid.
What do you make of the changes she suggests there?
I don't argue with any of those things.
So all of those happen in your view as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And the Shergold Weir report was really focused on those types of things. So, you know, what it didn't say is that our regulations are hopeless and we need to have more regulation. Our regulations are actually pretty good. It's actually the enforcement, the compliance, and how those checks and balances work. And in some cases, whether some of those parties have the right accreditation qualifications around them. And then, as I say, the overlay, the other issue sort of that's come in from the sidelines is this emergence of the combustible cladding, most of which was actually approved in the past, you know, was allowed under then regulation and approved appropriately, but it means that, you know, we've done a rethink on that and said, you know what, we shouldn't really have that stuff on our buildings.
Okay, so of course,
so you've had those confluence of two things which we now need to deal with.
So tomorrow, of course, there's this key meeting and the minister wants a national task force to look at this and national guidelines. Do you consider that kicking the can down the road, given there's recommendations? Shouldn't some of this happen immediately?
Absolutely. There is absolutely an urgency here. And you know, the urgency arises from this insurance crisis. What we've got is insurance being withdrawn for professional indemnity for those building certifiers. We've got a growing cost and limitations on insurance for some buildings themselves. And if that were allowed to continue, then you'll have construction projects stop and you'll have, you know, insurance gaps in the market. And that's emerging very strongly. So action needs to be taken tomorrow. And when we have sat down and talked to the insurance sector about this, they're saying the problem for insurers is that because it's a hodgepodge, it's a dog's breakfast of responses, what's happening in one state is completely different to what's happening in another state. Part of a good job here, bad job there, is that they cannot assess risk. They can't assess risk, so they're pricing it through the roof or withdrawing it from the market. So we need to get the regulatory response right so that the insurers have the confidence to actually insure the risk in front of them, so that the wheels of the economy and the building industry can keep turning here.
But clearly the building industry has actually dropped the ball here. I mean, there is no doubt about that. Shouldn't the industry that's dropped the ball so badly pay something towards fixing these problems? We're having this big discussion about who bears the cost. Shouldn't the building industry be contributing as well?
Well, the overwhelming majority of people in the building industry are doing a great job and are committed to high standards and performing very, very well. But like, you know, anything, you do have either mistakes made or people, the small number of people who, you know, don't share those values.
Well, you say that, but thousands of buildings across Australia are covered in this flammable cladding, for instance. So clearly something's gone wrong.
Yeah, but the rules at the time permitted that. So this is a collective failure of the regulatory system of the past, as well as industry practice. And, you know, not just Australia, the world got the big wake-up call when we saw the Grenfell incident, although I must say there are multiple failures, not just the cladding incident that occurred at that terrible UK Grenfell fire. This is a little bit like asbestos and some of those other things where, you know, we go, you know what, we shouldn't have done what we've done in the past. So now it's a case of dealing with that. So it's not just, you know, dodgy builders who put things on buildings when they weren't supposed to. It's mainly an issue of dealing with something that we've had a second look at and gone, you know what, we have to address the risk that exists in some buildings, not every building, and deal with that risk. So it's listeners shouldn't think that every high-rise building that they walk past in their city is about to burst into flame, because that's not the case. But it is important, and state governments have been going through a process of auditing building stock to understand which buildings do have combustible cladding on it, and the extent to which that poses a risk. And there's a lot of complexity about the different types of product there, how it sits within a broader fire suppressing systems, which goes to how much risk that actual product in that building, in that location might have. So it's, you know, it is a significant issue. It does need to be dealt with, but there has a degree of complexity about it. And specific circumstances are specific to an existing building.
We're way over time, but just briefly, the federal government has declined to put any money towards removing flammable cladding. Do you think they have an obligation to contribute?
Well, I think the insurance issue is the key one. So if fixing up the regulation doesn't bring the insurers back to the market, then we are going to have some type of government-supported insurance solution in place. So what I want to see happen tomorrow is not that ministers walk out of that meeting and say, we're just going to keep going it alone, or we have the usual federal-state blame game. What we need is a consistent, agreed set of solutions, one set of solutions for one country. We don't often get it, but that's what we need from building ministers tomorrow.
Ken, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.